All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from the makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking
take all you want! I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse that are running
off. Hi, this is Doesn't Get a Guy, Jeff from Albuquerque. And my idea for show 250 is 250 shows and still no Green Hornet read by OG. Have a good one, guys. Take it easy. Still enjoying the show. Glad you guys are back. Bye.
So there you go.
He had it right, at least.
Well, technically, he
technically,
is right. I have not read a single issue of Green Hornet.
Technically, though, Doesn't Get a Guy doesn't get it. Because I didn't say that I was really interested in having you read Green Hornet. What I said was I wanted you to watch the 60s TV show.
Listen, at least Doesn't Get a Guy is consistent in his doesn't get it-ness.
Let's also mention that the star of that show, Van Williams,
yes,
is actually going to be at a nostalgia convention in Maryland, I think, this weekend.
I thought he was dead.
He's not dead.
How old is that guy?
Bruce Lee is dead.
Bruce Lee is dead.
How old is that guy? Effing old.
Effing old. All right. Fair enough.
Yep.
So, Doesn't Get a Guy from Albuquerque. Is it Jeff from Albuquerque?
I don't know. Doesn't Get a Guy.
You're going to win yourself the fancy Cotopaxia X-Wing ice trays.
Yes. CotoUS.com.
That's right.
You can check out all the great products from Coto. We talk about them each and every week here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the fabulous silicone ice trays.
That's right.
And, you've won yourself the X-Wing one for the name our 250th episode contest. It's almost hot enough in here for this to be the 2012 Too Darn Hot episode.
You know, I put that out there on the Twitter this morning.
Yeah.
And there are a couple longtime listeners that were like, I look forward to that episode every year. Because I think it's really, we just hit some sort of delirium.
Yeah.
About halfway through the episode.
I don't know that we're
going to slur.
If it was tomorrow, I think we would definitely be there.
It would be trouble.
It would be trouble. But right now, I think we're going to hold tight. Hey, we had another entry for that, which we both thought was really funny.
Episode
we
two,
had several entries, we had one that we really thought was very funny.
This one was via the Facebook.
Right.
Episode 250, robbed, watered down, but still potting strong.
Potting. P-O-D-D-I-N-G.
That's right.
So when OG first tells me this, he said potting, like P-O-T-T-I-N-G. And we were like, when, so how are we going to, what's the angle here? Are we going to like, we're going to make gardening jokes all episode?
Green thumb jokes.
What we decided though is that podding is an interesting word, and that's why we're calling this episode,
that's right,
Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 252, we're calling it podding.
So Lou G for having the runner-up in the 250 contest and naming episode 252,
right,
in a way. We're going to give you another randomly drawn ice tray from the Kodo ice tray pile.
There you go. From KodoUS.com. Check them out. Check out all their great products, as we said earlier. I call him Lou G.
Lou G?
Yeah.
All right.
Just saying.
If you want. Let's do this.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
House.
Over.
It is, in fact, over. And Hugh Laurie clearly bored.
Uh-huh.
And I guess Stephen Fry not available to do some more Fry and Laurie.
Wow. No, they are doing some projects together.
Are they doing
they're doing something together.
That would be
I heard.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a bit of Fry and Laurie. They may be past that at this point.
Well, Hugh Laurie, in his boredom, is now going to play
in his boredom
the CEO of Omnicorp in the reboot of RoboCop.
Oh, mercy. Really?
The bad guy.
Now, the original actor to play that role.
Hi, this is Adrian Foreigner.
That's right. When I talk like House.
When I talk like House.
Miss him too.
I do.
Oh, by the way, speaking of which, totally off topic.
Yes.
Automatic Matt.
Yes.
Going to Celebration.
Nice. I hope he comes to.
I'll see him.
I hope he comes to New York Comic Con.
I don't know. I think if he had to pick one, I think he picked the best one of the bunch, which I think might be Celebration this year.
I don't know about that, but he definitely picked a good one.
Definitely. Original actor.
Yes.
To portray that role, Dan O'Harely.
Yes, that guy.
Who played Grig in The Last Starfighter.
You're like,
I told you I was going to get a Last Starfighter reference into this episode. If it killed me, there it is.
There, well, you know, you're a bevy of useless information.
Thank you. And speaking of useless information about The Last Starfighter, were you aware there was a musical?
I thought that I had heard that, but I also thought that it might have been a really bad dream after a night of Taco Bell.
Angry Dan. Remember Angry Dan?
I do. And his random rants.
Yeah. Yes. Angry Dan, actually, I don't know if he has or had at one time or bought for somebody the soundtrack to the musical of The Last Starfighter. I must have it.
You know, that doesn't surprise
me. I must.
That, Dan.
Listen, listeners, I must have it.
You have to own this in your possession?
In its original form. I do not want your bootleg copies. I do not want your ripped files.
Ripped is the way to go.
I must have it in its original form.
You want the liner notes?
Case. I want the whole thing.
I could get you a copy. You know, a case probably.
A copy, yeah.
Just saying. Putting it out there. All right. Can we move forward?
Sure.
With some good news. You know, good news. That's a rarity. In our news segment.
No.
I feel as though a lot of times in our news segment, there's a lot of bad news. But
there
this
is some
good news.
Okay.
Paramount has put the brakes. The kibosh has killed mostly the TMNT reboot.
Thank God.
By Michael Bay.
And the Space Turtles.
Ew. And they weren't
space.
And they weren't teenagers. And they weren't alien. I don't know.
They're
what the
just
fuck he was
stupid,
gonna
and
whatever
that's
he
why
was
it's
doing,
over.
It's done.
Stupid, stupid Michael Bay.
And to no one's chagrin, no one is upset about this. No one wants this to move forward.
Yeah, nobody.
And that's it.
Have you met a single person that was like that? No, that sounds like not a single
Kevin
person.
Eastman. That was it. He was the only one other than Michael Bay.
What? How much are you going to pay me? Yeah, hell yeah. Great idea.
Let's do it. So, done.
I'll buy another magazine no one reads.
Yeah, exactly.
Besides Heavy Metal.
Ew. Ew, ew.
What he did with all his turtle money. He bought Heavy Metal magazine.
I know. And he's
and
done
what's her
so
name?
Much with it.
Julie... And what's her Julie, whatever her name is.
All right.
Whore.
Are you familiar with the Neonomicon?
Yes, the Book of the Dead.
No, that is the Necronomicon. No.
Okay.
The Neonomicon is a book by Alan Moore.
Uh-huh.
It won the Bram Stoker Award for Best Mystery
I do. The name is now familiar.
Okay, so the reason that I'm bringing this up, because this was originally released in 2010, so this is a bit old.
Yeah.
But one of the things we like to talk about on this show is lawsuits involving the comic book world.
Woo-hoo! So we need a stinger for that.
We do need a stinger for that.
Superhero lawsuits.
I'm gonna just use that. What's the one from Law and Order? bum bum.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Can you get that sound?
I'm sure that I can.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Bum bum sound.
Wait, hold on. Let's intro it again. What's the segment called?
Lawsuits involving the comic book universe.
That's too
lawsuits. How about geek lawsuits?
No, it needs to have that Law and Order punch. It's like Law and Comics.
Oh,
bum,
okay.
Bum. Okay, ready? And now, this week's segment of Law and Comics.
There it is. So, the Neonomicon. The reason I'm bringing this up is because there is currently a lawsuit involving the Neonomicon.
Wait, I think I thought of something else.
And South Carolina.
I think every time you say the word lawsuit in it, we should do it again.
Do it again?
Yeah.
All right. So this is kind of like that other bit we used to play with the theme song.
What other bit?
Exactly. So
I don't know what bit you're talking about.
You're not going to know. Sleep on it. So apparently what happened was in a library, public library in South Carolina, in the adult section was Alan Moore's Neonomicon.
Right.
This library has a rule that says that children over a certain age, I think 13, can take a book out of the adult section with parents' permission.
Right.
Now, by adult, I don't mean like Penthouse Forum. I just mean material that is considered to have adult themes.
Does Penthouse really have a place in a library?
If they have a section behind curtains.
Did you say it was in the South?
It was in South
Carolina.
Okay,
I'm just checking.
So anyway, what happened was a young girl, 14 years of old age, was in this section, took Neonomicon off the shelf, and with her mother's blessing, was able to take the book out.
Right.
Mother thumbed through it and said, okay. Then she gets home, and she says to her mom, what does some word in the book mean? And I think it was something sexual in nature.
Vaginal?
It might have been. And now the mother is trying to, like, file a lawsuit. Get the book pulled from.
See?
It works.
See, it's
get
funny.
Get the book pulled from the library. And, of course, the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund and its protection of, you know, First Amendment rights.
They usually do, the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund helps creators with
Pending litigation.
Right.
So the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund is defending this, and I think it's good to bring these stories
to
the attention. So sure. If you haven't,
if you go into your library,
I'm gonna try to find a link that maybe on the Comic Book Legal Defense website to this story, and you know, you should pay attention to these things. They affect all of us as readers and fans and etc.
Sure. I'm just trying to find a way for you to work.
I know what you're trying to do.
That word in.
I know what you're trying to do. All right. I really only have one more news story this week.
Okay.
And it is like a follow-up to the comic book segment last week.
Okay.
All right. This involves one Thomas Wayne Jr.
Ah.
So last week we said, well, how are they going to do this? Is it actually him? Blah, 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 blah. And occasionally,
lo and behold,
me and you are either wrong or forgetful. I'm saying in my case, I was wrong. And in your case, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and say at one point in time, you may have had this information.
Now, didn't I answer this that I thought this had been mentioned in like Miller's Year One or one of those early books?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But
what have you found
out? Either way.
I thought I had mentioned that because I thought that's where I remember it from.
According to an article over at Bleeding Cool.
Bleeding Cool.
Svensson. Who wrote a review of issue 10, goes on to talk about why this is great that Thomas Wayne Jr. is introduced in this book,
okay,
and where we've seen him before. Thomas Wayne Jr. was originally introduced in World's Finest Comics.
In Avengers number one.
No.
Oh, that's segment two.
In World's Finest Comics 223, and then again in World's Finest 227 in 1974, written by Bob Haney.
Wow, that was like way before I was even born.
At that time, he was the Boomerang Killer.
The Boomerang Killer?
Okay. So then, and then it goes on to say in this article that Frank Miller, during his year one,
with Mazzucchelli,
brought up the Willowwood Asylum, and I believe brought up the fact that there may have been another Wayne's son. I don't know that he actually says the name in that case. But then later on again, in I think a story written by Grant Morrison in an Earth 2 storyline.
So doesn't count.
Thomas Wayne Jr. Well, it kind of does count, and I'll tell you why in a second. Thomas Wayne Jr. is Owlman, who is like Earth 2's kind of sort of Batman.
Right.
So the reason it kind of counts is because in this new 52 universe, we're already seeing a bleeding over of these Earth 2 characters into the mainstream continuity. Power Girl, Huntress.
They've been here for a long time.
I understand. But the newly brought back gay Green Lantern, also the Earth 2 version of him. So I think the kind of introduction of these Earth 2 characters, bringing who was Owlman at one point in time into a Court of the Owl, I think it's actually pretty brilliant writing on Scott Snyder's part.
That is.
Kudo to him.
Can we just say the Green Lantern from Earth 2? Do we have to qualify it as the gay Green Lantern from Earth 2?
Yes, we do.
Okay. One of us has a problem with gays. All right, fine.
He needs that model. Look, I'm not saying he's got to wear a little pin or nothing. I'm just saying that we can qualify him.
Well, one does want a hint of color.
A little patch, perhaps? Pink triangle? We do.
Wow. Sir, Nazi reference, sir.
Look, I'm not saying we're doing anything terrible with him.
Wow.
Did you know that at Midtown Comics today in New York, they actually had some sort of... Now, I'm confused on this, so I'm going to rely on the audience to correct me.
Because I have
a bit of don't care going on with
and
this.
And in order to correct OG, why not use our GVM line?
425-920-6050.
Where you can leave your hate messages for OG, and you may hear your hate message on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
This is not hateful. There was a wedding that took place at Midtown Comics today. But what I don't know was...
Was it a symbolic wedding between...
I don't know. It was two gentlemen. But I don't know if it was two gentlemen and symbolic of just the issue of Astonishing X-Men that came out today, where North Star finally marries his...
Boyfriend.
Or if it were two gentlemen that actually got married in the store and as part, you know...
Or was it both?
Or both. So I don't know. So if a fan happens to know that, you can let me know.
Was Joe Q one of them?
Kudos. No, Joe Q was not one of them.
Okay.
Joe Q hasn't come out against gay marriage yet. I'm assuming that's coming down the line.
Probably going to stop that. Hasn't come out.
But, hey, look, I don't want to say that about that man. I don't know. We know he doesn't like cigars. Maybe he doesn't like cock. I'm just saying.
Wow. Just a little over the line, sir.
I'm putting it out there. All right, with that, I think we could take our first break.
Okay, OG, and we will take that break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 252, Podding.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Lollipop Chainsaw is now available for the Xbox 360 and PS3. The game is from Suda51, yes, that's the man's name, who made Killer 7, No More Heroes, and Shadows of the Damned. If you play these titles, you know he makes weird games. Lollipop Chainsaw is about a cheerleader who fights a zombie invasion with her alive but decapitated boyfriend's head attached to her belt like a keychain. Sounds interesting, seems fun, but I would plan on renting before buying. I've heard that the game clocks in around 5 hours. It's finally been announced that the Mass Effect 3 Extended Cut DLC will be available June 26th for free. If you're not familiar, after years of making decisions and impacting the world across three Mass Effect games, the end was a choice between door number 1, door number 2, and door number 3 for a stock outcome. Well, BioWare have gone back into their cubicles and they're trying to sop up the shit stains from their bed. The Extended Cut DLC will not change the ending, but will give further clarity, if any at all, of the events following your final decision. The DLC will be a massive 1.9 gigs. So at least if the extended explanation of what happened is still unsatisfying, there'll be plenty of it. While it's still a few weeks away, the Summer Arcade is coming to XBLA. The games will be Wrecketeer, Deadlight, Hybrid, and Dust, the Elysian Tale, which are all good and lovely, but I'm sure I'll talk about them sometime in the future. But the game to be excited about is Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD, available on July 18th. Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD, or THPS HD, we'll have levels from both Tony Hawk 1 and 2. And I can't decide if this is really shitty or I should be happy, but levels from Tony Hawk 3 will be sold as DLC. So thank you for making them, and fuck you for charging me, because you know I will buy them. Quantum Conundrum has just been released for the PC, with the PlayStation 3 release on July 10th and the Xbox 360 release on July 11th. If you don't know what Quantum Conundrum is, there were three college students that created Portal. Now one is making a game herself, which is Quantum Conundrum. This time, instead of thinking with portals, you'll have control of switching between alternate universes. Imagine needing to pick up a cube, but it's too heavy. Switch over to the fluffy universe so it's light enough to lift. Throw it across the room and switch to the slow motion universe to walk ahead and catch the very object you threw. Throw the cube at a pane of glass and switch to heavy dimension so it shatters the barrier. I haven't played it yet, but I will definitely be picking this one up. And finally, I didn't get a chance to talk about Max Payne 3, so here's my mini review. It feels like both a continuation and a departure from previous Max Payne games, but I enjoyed Rockstar's depiction of Max Payne. A character arc is a change of perspective over the course of a story, which is not really present here in Max Payne 3. Shaving your head is dramatic, but it feels like the worst happened to Max in the previous games. That being said, the story in Max Payne 3 is fantastic, and the presentation in which the story is told is both intense and cinematic. Basically, it just looks fucking cool. Gunplay has always been the center of Max Payne games, slow motion diving into a room to blow away the bad guys. But in Max Payne 3, I felt like every time I dove into the air in bullet time, I was an easy target for everyone in the room to unload their guns on. Halfway through the game, which could be very challenging even on normal settings, I found myself playing Max Payne like a Gears of War game, taking cover behind objects and popping up to shoot, which is not exactly how a Max Payne game is supposed to be played. Irregardless, Max Payne 3 is an amazing game that definitely should be played. If you're on the fence, buy it. If you're still not convinced, rent it. Just do yourself a favor and play Max Payne 3. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
Hey, what's going on? It's Adrian. I was just listening to episode 250 about Black Panther and Falcon not being a part of the Avengers. Okay, well, Black Panther was one of the original members, and they can easily work him into a story, you know, with the whole vibranium angle. Also, Falcon, not for the Avengers, but definitely for Captain America 2, maybe even the third, because in the Ultimates, in the current story, Falcon is still an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., so they can easily rope him in on the storyline. But that's my two cents. Awesome. See you guys later.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 200, and I think I just slurred that.
Episode.
Episode. It's the heat.
It's not too darn hot.
Episode 252, Podding.
Podding. P-O-D-D-I-N-G.
Well, let's address this voicemail.
Yes. Will people please stop saying that Black Panther is an original member of the Avengers? OG, please correct the audience member who called in. What was his name?
Is Adrian. I actually know this cat.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Adrian.
Longtime fan of the show.
Adrian, pay attention, sir. Please.
Black Panther did not join the Avengers until issue 52.
52.
1968.
52. Not an original member, sir.
So there you go.
By original, you mean he was in the first 100 episodes. Well, did he actually join the team or did he appear in that issue?
It's according to the Wikipedia page.
Uh-huh.
It says that he joined the team in issue 52.
Okay.
So there you go. Not an original member of the Avengers. Regarding Falcon in the Ultimate Universe.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Cap 3. Put him in there.
Look, the Cap movie is not the Ultimate Universe, fella.
But it's its own universe.
That's right.
So could they work Falcon in there?
I'm sure they could. Will they? Hell no.
No. I think you have to deal with.
No.
I think
you have one.
I think Bucky is not an issue in. I think Bucky is a non-existent character in the second movie.
But he's in the third.
And I think they bring him back in the third
movie. Winter Soldier.
As the Winter Soldier.
No way.
You think they do that in the second movie?
I think so.
We'll see.
Even if he's not the villain, they're gonna do something with him in the second one. I think.
Maybe it's the after credits stinger.
Maybe. No, something longer than that. Like,
we'll
they
see.
Fish him out or
yeah,
something.
We'll
I don't know. You just reminded me of something.
Sure.
We already have someone in the movie universe who has a black sidekick.
We do?
Yeah.
Who?
Iron Man. So if we now give Cap Falcon, I mean, people are going to start talking.
Terrence Howard is available. Just saying.
Awful. Awful.
I'm putting it out there.
I'd like that guy from Hot Tub Time Machine to be Falcon.
guy from Hot Tub Time Machine.
Not Patrice O'Neill.
Oh, the guy that's on The Office.
I can't remember his name, man. God. I'm so embarrassed.
I know who you're talking about. I know him from The Office. Daryl from The Office. But I can't think of the actor's actual
name. You want to look it up?
Sure.
I'm going to talk about this real quick while you look that up, OG. Did you know this past weekend was Free RPG Day?
I did not.
So at local game and comic book stores who do games and stuff, they, like Free Comic Book Day, they gave out a bunch of RPG stuff. I picked up a couple of things. Dungeon Crawl Classics put out a great little book with two short adventures in it. Lots of details. They're also having some sort of contest, mystery map design contest. What I liked about Dungeon Crawl, it's a role-playing game. It says, adventures as 1974 intended you to. So, like, it's like original D&D type settings, if you will, and so forth. So I like that. Dungeons and Dragons put out a heroic adventure called Dead in the Eye, an adventure for character levels 8 through 10, which is interesting because I thought they were killing 4th edition and going on to 5th edition. But this still really, really nicely done, full-color maps and everything. For a free giveaway, this is pretty cool. And I also picked up, you know what Harn is? Am I even pronouncing that? Is it Hairn? Or
I believe that would be Hairn.
It's got like that
it's
little...
It's got the carrot.
It's got a thing on the A.
It's a carrot.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Well, this I don't is, mean what's up, Doc.
This is from Columbia Games. It's a giant map of the Hairn universe.
The Hairniverse?
Hairn and Environs. So it's a nice map. Really quality paper. On the back, they got some stuff.
You know what's missing from Free RPG Day?
What?
Shady Dragon Inn. I'm just saying. I'm putting it out there.
Bam! Can you imagine? That could have been their thing.
That if that were the
fourth
case,
edition Shady Dragon Inn.
If that were the case, I'd have killed. Literally. I'd have found somebody with it and stabbed them on the way to the parking lot.
What's his name?
Who?
The guy we're waiting for you on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson, okay.
He's going to play Falcon.
Craig Robinson as Falcon. My vote starts
slightly
now.
Slightly larger Falcon.
What does that mean?
Well, isn't Falcon is a muscular man?
You don't think Craig Robinson's muscular?
No, I believe he's a little bit on the... He's husky.
Husky. Very good, sir.
He's husky.
Husky.
I'm just saying that Falcon don't fly. That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
And I like Craig Robinson. No offense.
Ostrich.
I'm just...
Caps new sidekick. Ostrich.
Put it out there. I like the guy. I'm a fan of his work. I just don't see him as the Falcon.
Not Patrice O'Neill.
Oh, Patrice O'Neill. He's dead.
Geek Stuff, DVD news.
DVDs.
Not quite.
No?
I think we have a contest to talk about first.
Oh.
We promised the contest.
We did.
We have to address the contest.
Thank you for reminding me, sir. That stinger was inappropriately played. I blame myself.
That's right. We will replay that in a moment.
In lieu of DVDs this week.
That's right.
Do we actually have any DVDs this week? Since we brought it up, we could just knock it out.
We could just knock it out. Let's see. Newsies, 20th Anniversary Edition on Blu-ray.
Gee, why on earth would they be putting that out on Blu-ray?
I don't know, because it's doing amazing on Broadway.
Yeah, I would say.
And I'm going to say that's it.
No, seriously?
Yeah. Power Rangers Samurai.
Oh, God.
No, Louis is out this week. If you're a fan of Louis, Louis Season 2 is out this week. What is Project X? I feel as though I should know that.
I don't know. It's an old Matthew Broderick movie with him and a monkey.
But this is not that.
Oh, then I don't know.
I feel like I should know this movie. I don't know.
I really don't know.
Anyway, that's out this week.
So there's DVDs.
So, tell a friend.
Tell a friend contest. We've been running this contest.
The longest teasing contest.
The longest contest ever in the history of Big Kev's Geek Stuff so far.
Right.
Is finally over, and we are prepared to announce the winners and the prizes.
That's right.
Who do you want to do first?
Let's do category one.
Okay, category one is...
Remind a friend.
Remind us what the rules were for that one.
Remind a friend. If you have a friend who used to listen to the show but maybe hasn't picked up on the fact that we're back, let them know we have returned and have them write in letting us know. And not only... but them and you will both get one entry in this category.
Right. And so we picked a winner from this category, and the winner is...
Michael B. from Tempe, Arizona.
Michael B. from Tempe, Arizona. Want to hear what he won?
Sure enough.
1/6 scale Commander Gree.
Wow.
Action figure from Sideshow Collectibles.
That's a pretty fancy prize.
I know.
That's nice.
I told you these were fancy prizes.
That's awesome.
1/6 scale. That is the 12-inch Commander Gree, all the accessories, all the things that we'd want. It's actually the collector's edition.
Right.
So it has the collector's edition base. you know, that they do. Yeah. All the great stuff that Sideshow is known for. Commander Gree happened to be one of the better pieces, I think, that they've done in the line. Really, really spot on, great stuff. And Michael B., Tempe, Arizona, is going to get that. Nice. So, Michael B., please send your information to OG at geekstuffog@gmail.com.
That's right.
And don't forget to open that letter with, hey, Kev.
Right, and then we'll give the prize to the runner-up. Category two, tell a friend.
This show is like a category two disaster with this heat.
Let a friend know about the show. If you have a friend that is into all the geeky goodness we discuss, but they don't know about the show, tell them and have them write in letting us know that they're listening. And that person and the person who referred them will both get one entry into this category.
We should say we had like a bazillion entries for these categories.
Yes, I'm not that I wasn't excited about all of the categories.
Right.
Right. But category one was good. I want to bring some of the loyal listeners back.
Back, right.
Category three, which we'll get to, I didn't have a ton of hope for. I was convinced you guys would tell people.
Right.
I wasn't convinced that if you randomly went up to someone on the subway.
Yeah.
And asked
that was
them,
the description we gave, wasn't it?
That was one of the options. That they would... They would join in. But we got some entries, so that's
nice.
Awesome. But the tell a friend category,
right,
which was actually category two, which was really the heart and soul
of the idea
of this contest. Right. This one, we got a ton of entries, and it was really exciting. And hopefully a lot of you have, you know, we know a lot of you have been listening. Some of you have continued to interact with us on Twitter. Some of you have, you know, join the Facebook page, etc. So, you know, you've contacted us directly. That's awesome.
Right. Our actually our listeners in Italy.
Yeah.
Looking on the Faccia Libre.
is that what that is? The Faccia Libre? All right. So the winner for category two is Luke C.
Luke C.
He's from the Cali.
Oh, really? We're from in California.
California.
No, but don't say it, because then people will start looking for Luke C.
Luke C. in California. Luke C., you know who you are, and if not, I will contact you.
Luke C., send your information to geekstuffog@gmail.com,
open
with Hey Kev. And you have won, my friend. You may recall, we just talked about this item really recently. You won a two-pack Lord of the Rings Lego prize package, which features the Uruk-hai army piece, as well as the Gandalf Arrives set, which we talked about right on the show. Uruk-hai army, part of the Helm's Deep.
That's right.
Part of your construction of Helm's Deep. And the Gandalf Arrives set is really maybe one of my favorite sets in this line. It's Gandalf, the cart, the fireworks, and Frodo, just like right from the beginning of Fellowship of the Ring. What an awesome piece. If you had to have one piece in your collection from Lord of the Rings, I think this is the one.
Awesome.
And you're going to win both of them, sir. Congratulations. Please send your info to OG, and we can get that prize out to you.
And category three, tell a stranger. Find a complete stranger. Tell them about the show. Have them write in letting us know that some stranger told them about the show, and then they both will get an entry.
Uh-huh.
And this is going to go to... at Coco Pop on Twitter.
At Coco Pop on Twitter.
Who spammed the hell out of Twitter one day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was good because actually, I originally wasn't going to accept her entries because technically, I guess, sort of on Twitter, it's your friends. And so you might not qualify for a stranger. But what I saw happen was.
You're really splitting hairs there.
What I saw was there were a bunch of retweets from people that weren't on her friends list.
Right.
So that qualified as
there strange. You go.
So at Coco Pop on Twitter, you're going to win
from our friends at Gentle Giant Studios. Everyone thought these prizes were going to be crap, but
that's
they're
right.
huge
this
and
is
awesome.
Good stuff.
Yeah, she is going to win. Is it a she?
It is a she.
She, Coco Puff, is that her name?
Coco Pop.
Pop. Coco Pop has won Muftak and Cabe. Or Kabe, I'm doing it phonetically. Muftak and Cabe mini bust set from Gentle Giant. Muftak is a hulking Tal's alien, and Cabe, the tiny rodent-like Chadrafan, were frequent patrons to Mos Eisley Cantina. The two develop a close friendship, watch out for each other. blah, 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 and more information. But you get mini busts of both characters in one box. What a terrific set this is for any Star Wars fan.
Nice.
Any science fiction fan, really. Both characters from the original Star Wars movie, so no one can complain we're giving away Episode 1 stuff. And there it is. Or really, the sequel stuff.
Sort of. Right.
Congratulations, Coco Pop. Please send your information to geekstuffog@gmail.com and open with Hey Kev. And OG
will
send this prize off to you immediately.
So there you go. There it is. Tell a friend contest. Thank you for everybody.
Thank you, everybody. And you know what? Just because there's no contest doesn't mean you can't tell a friend.
That's right.
You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You want others to listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You want to be the person who pointed them out, pointed this show out to those people. You can be that person still, even if there's no contest. And who knows? Maybe we'll throw another tell a friend contest in the near future, and you can get a jump start on it now.
Mayhaps.
Mayhaps.
All right, let's do this.
Geek stuff, comics, books, and graphic novels.
I have four.
I have four also, which is weird because I don't bet we cross over but twice.
I'm guessing maybe once, actually.
All right, ready? I got Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 10.
That I have as well.
Okay, this book is just getting better and better.
Scott Lobdell, Kenneth Rocafort.
Rocafort.
It is. It's been really good. And this is, of course, the first issue. Now, after the, not that it really affected this book greatly, but it's the first issue after the Night of the Owls storyline.
Right.
So we'll see where that picks up, if it picks up at all. And of course, I haven't read the issue yet, but I hear Starfire kicks ass and takes names in this issue.
In a sheet.
Yeah. In this issue.
Like usual.
There you go.
I also have from DC Comics, I have Batman Beyond Unlimited number 5.
Yeah, I don't have that one.
Okay.
I don't care about that one.
Why? You should.
I'm just not a big fan. I'm, you know.
Well, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm just not
There's
a
some
big enough fan.
Good stuff in this book, sir. I'm surprised. I actually think you would dig this book if you gave it half a chance.
All right.
Beechin, Breyfogle, Nguyen, Friedhoffs, Nguyen, Krill, Poster, Livesey. Wow. I don't think.
That's a lot of names.
And this is not a what you call it either, a collection. This is like one.
That's like one issue?
Yeah.
That's like a lot of
one
that's,
thing.
That's a lot of business there.
Yeah, yes it is. So that's continuing the great story going on in Batman Beyond, the Batman Beyond universe, issue number 5. So check that out. All right, I was 2. Now you do 2.
Apparently
we have a lot.
I'll stick with DC. Catwoman number 10.
Okay, I don't have that.
This is John Winnick and Gillum Murch. For those of you who haven't been reading Catwoman, if you like to read about a character that has been sexualized since the 50s, but is written really well and the story's been solid, then this is the book for you. All you haters out there, quit your bitching. And then also out this week, Birds of Prey, issue 10. Also, I'm reading that, so
okay.
Check that out. That's been a solid read as well.
Okay, I also have, from our friends over at Dynamite, it's The Shadow number 3, Garth Ennis and Aaron Campbell doing the honors on this. Looks great. The story's really great. Cover by Alex Ross. There's also a great Howard Chaykin cover. We'll get to why that's important in a minute. And what else do you have, OG?
I have Saga, Chapter 4. This is the one. This is the book by Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples. This book gets better every issue.
Saga, huh?
Yeah. If you're a fan of Brian K. Vaughan's work, you absolutely should be reading this book. It's a great kind of bizarro sci-fi romance action-packed awesomeness.
Wow.
I don't know how else to describe it. It's got a little bit of everything.
And lastly, I think for both of us, I have Daredevil number 14. Yup, I'm still reading Daredevil.
It's
one of the few Marvel books I got left. I'm still giving it a shot. I'm sorry, I've been reading the character since I was like 12. It's really hard to let go.
Just give up on it?
It is. It's really hard.
All right.
Also, a big book to check out this week, OG, The Art of Howard Chaykin. See?
That's lovely.
It's a big, giant art book. Going to run you about $30, full of beautiful Howard Chaykin art, sketch work, some things he did on other in other media as well. He worked in TV for a while.
Right.
You know, Howard and I had a big falling out in the 90s.
I know. I was going to say, Howard was one of those, he was on the bad list for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was definitely on the Mike Mignola list for a while in the 90s because of some comments that he made to myself and other people with regards to whether people who drew comic books were artists or... So there was some big thing that happened. It was so long ago, I barely remember it. But he and I buried the hatchet several years ago at a convention. And we're good now. And that's why I'm happy to say a brilliant artist, Howard Chaykin. If you really want to know something about the industry, you really want to know something about somebody who really, really is affecting the industry, pick up The Art of Howard Chaykin.
All right.
It's really awesome. Comes from Dynamite Entertainment. It's a real, real, real must-have if you're a fan of the genre, because Chaykin is definitely one of the masters.
Nice.
There you go.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product. All right, we have a couple different things tonight, right?
We do.
We have that.
Uh-huh.
And then we have that. Are we not doing that?
Oh, yeah. No, we are doing that.
All right.
I totally forgot about that.
So you want to do that first?
Yeah, let's do it really quick. This is the DC chess collection we've been talking about from... Eagle Moss Publications every fortnight at your what is it? What's the catch line? Every fortnight at your newsagent.
You and your newsagents.
I'm sure Atomic Matt, Automatic Matt.
I'm sure
is probably laughing his head off right
probably.
Now.
Probably.
This is number 6, and it is Two-Face. And Two-Face is.
I thought last week we said we did issue 7.
We did.
We were talking about Riddler was going to be the next piece.
7 is Batgirl.
Right. That's when we did last week. So are these going out of order?
I believe they were released. At least 2 of these were released out of order.
Okay.
So what you get is you get a fine little booklet that tells you all about the piece. And he is a knight on the bad team, the black team. Or the white team. Not sure how that works out. On the bad guy side.
Yes.
And a great sculpted piece for your chessboard. Also comes, as I said, with the book. Has information on the character, on the piece, how it moves, a little bit about chess, a little bit about this and that. Going to run you about $16. When you're done, this collection is going to be superb.
Nice.
Superb.
And like we said last week, you can or will be able to eventually get the chessboard.
The chessboard has been solicited and the binder has been solicited in the U.S., so you will be able to get them, yeah. So check that out. They have eaglemoss.com/DC-chess. So check that out over there. Or you can check it out every fortnight at your news agent. So if you pop on down to your news agent and every fortnight, you should be able to get one of these.
Fortnite? 14 days?
Fortnite.
I think it's 14 days, isn't it?
Isn't it four nights?
I think it's 2 weeks.
Fortnite's a month, isn't it?
No, I think it's 2 weeks.
Fortnite.
All right, UK listeners.
There you go.
What's a fortnight? And, no, I don't. Yes, what's a fortnight? I'm leaving it at that.
There you go. What's a fortnight, Automatic Matt?
Or Neil or Fran or...
Anyone.
Any one of you out there that are listening, what is a fortnight?
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
This is something that we talked about briefly a while back.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
And we kind of got in on the ground level of this.
Right.
Right. And this is the Imperium Park collection from our friends over at Wild Imagination.
Yes, that is right.
W-I-L-D-E imagination.com. Is that correct, OG?
That is, in fact, correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure we get the website correct
so people can check it out. Imagination.com.
So, when you go over there, when you see the piece that we're talking about tonight, and it seems a little bit familiar, we're going to tell you why.
Right. We're going to be talking about the Imperium Park line.
Right, Imperium Park. This is their steampunk-inspired line.
Right.
Right? So we should make that very clear. And the reason, of course, that we've come to this is because OG and I are very big fans of the steampunk genre.
We are.
And other people are now starting to do things in the genre as well, including really awesome doll makers.
Right.
And so we wanted to point out this is maybe the best of the stuff out right now, I would say.
That I've seen, yeah.
I've seen, definitely. And let's talk about why this ties together with Tonerdahl.
Okay.
Now, we had talked about this briefly, and I believe what we had said was we don't know exactly what the relationship is between Wild Imagination and the Tonerdahl Company. Well, now we know. Robert Tonner, friend of this program, Robert Tonner, and Joe Petrolese.
Yes.
Or it's Petrolese.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It's one of them. Joe P. And Bob Tonner over there, Tonerdahl, they actually both do design work for Wild Imagination. So the both of them have worked on the Imperium Park line because they're both steampunk fans also, I suppose. And so what we have what we had before was what was called like the basics.
Right.
Right. Just kind of the plain character dolls. No real outfits. Nothing really too terribly steampunky about them.
Right.
But now we've got a couple with outfits, and boy, are they something else.
They look pretty. Not
they are awesome. Now, what? Now, who did you give me?
All right. You have the...
Theodora Curiosity right. Bennett.
You have the female.
Yes, the female. Thank you. And you have the male. He has
and
a name.
I have the male.
It's at yes, the bottom of the box.
Phineas
Jules Bennett. Okay. Yes. This is the Bennett.
This is the Bennett.
The Bennett's. And they are done up in their steampunky best. Plenty of images to see over at BigCowsGeekStuff.com. And also, you can, if you're listening to us on iTunes or any of those sorts of I products, you're probably seeing images of them right now. So check those out over there. Okay, so, you know, it's the usual thing. Lots of, like, Victorian-era style clothing, which is really awesome. Real clothing, real hair, we should say. And then some accessories. Lots of leather pieces, buckles, keys. You know, all the sort of steampunk accoutrement.
Pistols.
That you've come to expect. Yes, pistols. What else is on the gentleman, OG?
Well, he's got the fancy outfit, but he's also got he's got like a nice kind of like arm like an arm
shoulder
piece.
Yeah, there,
shoulder piece, and he's got what looks like some sort of dial jewelry. He's got this big honking gun that straps on his back. It's a nice piece. You're looking at it. You're looking at the pictures now.
Yeah, there you go. Also, some of the in addition to these ones that we're describing now that come fully clothed,
right.
They did the basics of these characters,
right,
which we talked about briefly a bit back. And now some outfits have been issued for these
well,
as
hold
well.
On. Before we get to the okay. outfits, let's okay. just talk about some of the other things.
Right.
17 inches tall.
Right.
I'm multiple points of articulation. I'm guessing 1, 2...
Several.
3, 4... Yeah, man, like, you know, 15. 15 maybe points of articulation.
It's a lot. One, yeah, two.
Well, you
three,
have you have
six,
neck, shoulder, wrist,
seven,
neck, shoulder, wrist,
eight,
waist,
nine, ten.
Right.
It's a
hips,
lot of articulation.
And then you have feet are articulated. The one thing I do like also, you have the standard C cup kind of hands. The
oh, whoa,
you know what I mean?
C cup.
Yeah, the little cup, the little C hands.
C hands is one thing, sir.
I don't mean
C
cup size. I mean hand style.
I'm just saying. I mean the way you presented it.
So just so you know what you're getting into as far as the actual
right.
piece itself before we get into the other additional outfits that come with these.
Right. Now they don't come with, they come separate. And right. there's two of them that we got. One of them is blowing our minds. The other one's really nice too. Let's talk about the nice one first, but then we got to talk about the one that's blowing our minds, sir.
All right. This is for the female.
The female right? of the species.
And this is the end of time.
End of time question outfit. Mark. End of time?
Yeah, right.
You have to rise up at the end, sir. And yeah. again, it's another Victorian style.
Yeah,
steampunky sort of outfit.
So it's like different boots. She's got a new hat, a bunch of other accessories. It's and this is one of the newer pieces, in the line.
Right.
Goes
perfectly well with the basic that's
like
already
an
come
eye
out.
Piece.
Oh yeah, an
like,
eye piece,
like a big eye. It's kind of like a monocle, but
oh,
not
yeah.
really.
Oh nice. Yeah, oh yeah, I see that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Very cool.
pretty neat.
Well, you know, like we said, you're going to want to check out imagery of these over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com in the photo gallery of this episode, 252. OG, let's cut to the chase and talk about the flight captain?
The airship captain.
Airship captain outfit for the male of the species, basic.
Right.
Go ahead and talk about that one, sir.
This is really kind of an interesting piece because he kind of has this like very steampunky flight mask.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a cross between what you would expect, like an Air Force pilot or like a TIE fighter pilot to have.
Right.
You know what I
mean? Right. Yeah. Like over the face with the hose,
but it's got like a fin on top. It looks
kind of like an Imperial, like World War One-ish. Or late 19th century, or 18th century, no, 19th century is 1800s. Yeah, late 18th century sort of style to it. But then it has the full sort of goggle gas face mask with a connecting hose that goes to a very steampunky looking tank.
Yeah, it's like an air tank.
Yeah, I think that he wears on his back, right? It's a full leather-ish coat with tall boots as well. I mean, this outfit is spectacular.
It is spectacular. And something we haven't talked about, but I want to mention now, is price points.
Oh, do we know those?
We do know those.
Oh.
So price point on the dolls, dressed, clothed, $185.
$185, okay.
Right. Price point on the individual outfit.
Uh-huh.
And this is where you will understand, really, that these things shine in the accessories.
Okay.
$140.
Wow.
Yeah. So really, not that the bodies aren't nice and there's
not a
lot of detail.
And they're definitely very stylized.
But really,
the outfits are where it's at.
That's where it's at. It's in the design and the feel.
The execution of the look
and the outfit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's where the value is.
One thing that OG and I were talking about was these are a little bit stylized, which I think the head is slightly bigger.
The head looks a little bit bigger than it probably should be.
But you know what? I like that. I like that stylization. You know what I mean? It's not just some sort of random every doll with a steampunk outfit on it. It's got some style.
It's got a little bit of
little something to it.
Yeah.
Without being too cartoony. Without being too much. Without being too crazy. It definitely has a style all its own. And I think that style, am I right? That style carries through the Wild Imagination line of products, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Robert Tonner and Joe P., have also done some design work, I think, in some of their other lines as well.
Well, there's a couple other outfits. Let's just bring those up real quick. For the female, we have the Airship Escape outfit, which is like the female companion to the airship captain.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Is it all masky and stuff?
It is not masky, but it is goggly.
Oh,
it
goggly.
It is full-on goggly.
Oh, nice.
There's a military theory outfit that's also another female outfit. And then a male outfit, Clockwork Hypothesis. It's like a bowler hat, also traditional steampunk goggles.
Right.
That's a pretty nice looking outfit. Some of the other lines that they have at Wild Imagination.
Uh-huh.
Evangeline Gastly.
Evangeline Gastly, I think Joe P. does design work for Evangeline Gastly.
And
it looks like there
are three pieces in that line. Mortimer is the male,
uh-huh.
Dandy of Death, and Wilted English Rose are the two females.
Okay.
And then there's a bevy of outfits and accessories as well. Of course, you can go over to wildimagination.com to see all of the stuff in the sign and some images right now in the photo gallery as well.
We forgot something.
We did. The apothecary's case.
Apothecary case. It's an accessory that you can get to go along with the Imperium Park set. It's actually like a leather case that has some real glass bottles in it that are marked with different components. Really, really nice stuff. Really, really nice.
Yeah, and that the case is going to run you 39 beans.
There you go. So, but it's a nice accessory.
Look, it's, you know, they're a little bit pricey, but I think the quality speaks
absolutely
for the price. And I think that if you have to be a true fan and a collector
of steampunk,
and you know, and if you are, then this is something you want.
Yeah, totally.
That's kind of how it goes.
You know, let's put it out there. I think getting the basic on the male, who what's his name?
Phineas Jules
Phineas. Bennett. When you get the basic Phineas and get that airship captain outfit, airship captain outfit there with the helmet and everything, that is like, that's a great piece for anybody's collection.
Absolutely.
Anyone's collection.
Absolutely.
Yours, mine, anyone's collection.
Right.
It's a great representative piece of the steampunk genre. I think it hits all the points. If you get the, you said there was like an airship ship escape.
Yes, for the one. Female.
If you're into, if you prefer that one, get the, you can get the standard female.
Right.
Theodora, I believe is her name.
Right.
And you can get that outfit, or you can get, you know, any combination of any of these, the ones that come dressed, you really, really are really getting some spectacular products here.
Yeah, did we mention that there were blanks? Did we mention the blanks?
Yeah,
the
basics.
Blanks without, the basics without yeah. outfits, mm-hmm. $99.
There you go.
So $99 plus $140.
Yeah.
$210.
No, total. And you know what? In this day and age, for this type of collection,
sure.
real you're talking about real clothing,
right.
real hair, real accessories. That's actually, it's a great price for that.
Absolutely.
And there's no, and you know what? Let's talk about the fact that there's not really a lot of people out there doing cool steampunk stuff.
Yeah, we absolutely. So this is certainly something new and needed to the market.
Yeah.
And now you have it.
And we're going to be very excited to bring you more about Imperium Park and other lines from Wild Imagination.
Absolutely.
Check out Wild Imagination, WILDE. Imagination.com for more information about all their fantastic lines. And we can't wait to share more Imperium Park stuff with you.
Right.
And with that, OG, I believe we'll take our final break and we'll be right back with the wrap up Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 252, Podding.
Hey, this is Judah Friedlander, the world champion from 30 Rock and stand up. And you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, because you're a winner.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 200. I almost said 152.
Whoa.
252.
Time travel.
Potting.
I wonder what happened in episode 152.
I'll tell you what didn't happen in 152. Superpower Collectibles was not a sponsor, but they are right now.
Superpower Collectibles.
That's right. Go over to superpowercollectibles.com for all of your toys, statues, busts, comics, goodness, fun and exciting things. Plus, there's a coupon code.
No way.
I swear to God.
Is it Big Kev?
It is Big Kev. And tell them what they get.
Glass of wine, free massage.
None of that stuff.
How about $10 off any order of $50 or more?
That's right. And any order over $100 or more?
Free shipping.
Free shipping. And that's not a Big Kev thing. That's just a general thing.
Let's just say it's a Big Kev
thing. It's a Big Kev thing.
Yeah, it's all a Big Kev
so
thing.
So order $100.
Order $100 worth of stuff. You get $10 off of free shipping, courtesy of your friends at Big Kev's Geek
that's
Stuff.
Right. So check out superpowercollectibles.com for all of your geeky goodness.
Uh-huh. OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff besides the millions of prize winners today?
House is the bad guy in the upcoming RoboCop. Paramount is the good guy in canceling the TMNT reboot.
Yay, Paramount.
Thomas Wayne has been around for a while.
I thought he might be.
The Comic Book Legal Defense Fund is coming to Alan Moore's help with a fancy good lawsuit.
There, see?
I said it.
There.
And of course, there was one other thing. I feel as though there was one. What the hell am I forgetting? There was something else. Oh, no, that was it. News was light this week.
I'll tell you about one thing, OG, that you may have forgotten.
What?
I know I forgot it. This past Saturday, free RPG day.
That is.
Free
that is.
Role-playing game day. You can check out your local game store or comic store to see if they have any leftovers of the giveaways. They were all pretty awesome. Something for everybody. So check that out. And hopefully we'll get a little more notice about that for next year.
That's right.
And we'll be able to cover it better.
And in DVDs this week? In comic books this week, there was actually something.
No,
I
sir,
did
sir. There was a DVD.
It was Project X.
Project X, which you Newsies, didn't know anything about. Newsies.
And Power Rangers Samurai. That was the DVDs we mentioned.
We can't ignore DVDs yet.
I know.
Soon.
I know.
Maybe.
In comics this week, there's actually something that I did forget that I
Uh-oh.
Wanted to bring up. So I'm going to do that real
oh,
quick.
Oh, boy.
A couple episodes back. You remember we talked about...
is this a correction?
No, not a correction, just an omission. Or no, not even an omission, just an update. AKA, the...
oh, yeah.
The...
Kickstarter program, project.
No, not, it wasn't a Kickstarter. It was through Graphically.
Okay.
And it was our friend of the show, Rob Riley. It was his Grindhouse book that was available on Graphically. Was it a
Kickstarter? It was a Kickstarter. Oh, it was a
Kickstarter also. And then it went to Graphically.
Where's our copy?
Well, now the you can get a paperback copy over at skatuneproductions.storeenvy.com. And I will put... a link up on the website.
Whoa. Where is our copy?
Ask Rob. You're friends with him.
Oh, I'm friends with him.
But in all seriousness, AKA was a really fun read. If you're a fan of the Grindhouse genre,
you read it?
You should check that out. We read the first two issues.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You should check that out. Support Rob. Support that project. And you know what? Support independent comics in general.
And you know what? Where's my copy, Rob?
All right. In comics...
Daredevil number 14 from Marvel. The Shadow number 3 from Dynamite. Batman Beyond Unlimited number 5 from DC. Red Hood and the Outlaws number 10, also from DC.
Catwoman number 10. Birds of Prey number 10. And Saga number 4 by Brian K. Vaughan. You must check that out. Highly recommended.
Booyah. Also check out The Art of Howard Chaykin by Dynamite Entertainment. This is a big, giant art and sort of Chaykin history book. He is truly one of the masters, in my opinion, and ergo, you should check it out.
And product tonight, we talked about the next Eagle Moss DC Chess Collection piece. This is number 6, and it is Two-Face.
Yes, Two-Face is a knight on the villain team, and you can visit eaglemoss.com/DC-chess or every fortnight at your newsagent. Still Fortnite. Funny.
UK fans, what's a fortnight?
I say a month.
In product, or in addition product tonight.
Yes, additional product.
Wild Imagination,
yes.
Imperium Park.
Awesome, awesome stuff.
For all of you steampunk fans, you must check out wildimagination.com. Check out all the great pieces. Check out all the clothing and accessories.
Uh-huh.
Check out some of the other great stuff they have over at Wild Imagination. And you know what? If you pick up some of these pieces, let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know what you think. We're always interested in hearing. You can leave those comments over at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you may hear your comments on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Awesome.
Awesome. And with that, OG, I want to thank all of our contest winners this week. All of whom we've already named and aren't going to name again.
That's right.
And with that, OG, I will bring to an end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff by saying, good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.